This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, in today for April Bear. Last week, the big news in Detroit was President Trump's 11th-hour commutation of former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Kilpatrick served more than 7 years of a 28-year sentence and was released to his family, who's living in Georgia. Kilpatrick's elected successor in office was former Detroit Pistons basketball player and successful businessman Dave Bing. Bing was charged, whether of course he liked it or not, with restoring faith in the office of mayor after a series of scandals and criminal charges that really nearly crippled the business of the city. April Bear spoke with former Detroit Mayor Dave Bing about being mayor and his time in the NBA after the release of his new book, Attacking the Rim, late last year. Here's their conversation.
Dave Bing, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you so very much. My pleasure to be with you.
In the book, you write about how when you first came to Detroit, you know, you were this first-round draft pick making a good salary, one of the stars of the team already. There was a lot of anticipation. But you came to Detroit, and you went down with one of the front office guys to the First National Bank of Detroit and got turned down flat for a mortgage loan. It's an amazing anecdote about the times, and so unthinkable by today's standards. And later on, one of the bank's executives came to you and apologized and offered to bring you into the bank with an entry-level job during the summertime. There are so many astonishing things about this story, but I wanted to ask you why you decided to go in, take the offer, and go to work at a place that had turned you down as a client.
You know, I'm one, I never hold things against people. You know, that was a corporate decision. And I understood, you know, big business had to make decisions. And they were not willing to take a risk. And they looked at me as a young guy just out of college with a family, wasn't from here, playing for, one of the worst teams in the NBA, because the only reason I was drafted by the Pistons was because the Pistons and the Knicks were the worst two teams in the NBA. So the bank wanted to be safe. And, you know, I couldn't hold that against them. So as the season progressed, and I had a lot of success my rookie year.
So when Aubrey Lee, who was the vice president of NBD, called me to apologize, number one, and said they'd like to make amends for the decision that they made, and they would like to offer me a job by putting me into a training program. And I thought that was a good opportunity for me because the decision wasn't about an individual. It was a corporate decision, and I accepted that as such. You know, trying to hold a grudge because you thought somebody may have done you wrong is just not part of my makeup. So I accepted his apology and also accepted the job. And I did that for 7 years, seven off seasons.
You have so many amazing stories in this book about your time with the Pistons and later in Washington during your NBA career. And I confess, I was behind on the lore. I didn't realize how many problems you were having with your eyesight all those years you were playing. And it was just astonishing to read about all this and realize at one point you were dealing with a detached retina. I mean, I think a lot of people just would not have known while you were playing that your eyesight was such a health problem for you. How did you manage during games?
You know, I guess basketball, like a lot of things, is all about repetition. Repetition and feel. And, you know, I knew how big the court was. I knew how high the basket was. I knew how far away from the basket the free throw line was. And so, you know, I just learned to make adjustments kind of on the fly. I never gave a second thought that because of my eyesight being what it was, that I would not be able to play. I mean, the fear was not with me at all until I had the detached retina in my good eye. That's when I was afraid because all of a sudden I had learned to live my life, you know, with one eye. But when the good eye got hurt, in an exhibition game is when I really started to worry about whether or not I'd be able to play again and whether or not I'd be able to see again. And so I was very fortunate that I had a great team of doctors who performed the operation. And the oldest doctor on that team basically said, you probably shouldn't play again. I'm only 26 years old at the time, and I'm at the top of my game. And to hear the senior doctor say, you know, it's a big risk. And if you get hurt again, if that eye gets hurt again, you might not be able to see. So that was fear. And I knew the risk that was attached to that. But I never gave a second thought that if I could see, I'm going to play. And that's it. And I played another 8 years with that detached retina. The operation was successful.
You had already had this very full and very successful NBA career and reinvented yourself as the CEO in the steel industry when you decided to run for mayor. The city was in this moment when Kwame Kilpatrick's tenure was just falling apart. You had done so many things in your life already, but how did you know that you were ready to get into this very rough and tumble free-for-all that is Detroit city politics and city government?
The reality is I knew I wasn't ready. And so I therefore had to make a very, very hard decision. I knew what a precarious situation the city was in. I knew the things that Kwame had done because I had been very supportive of him. And as these things started to unravel, it was obvious to me that we needed more leadership in city government. And I never gave myself early on the thought that I was the one that would become the next mayor. So there was a lot of discussion I was having with a core group of friends and business associates who over time convinced me that I was the right guy at the right time to do this. I had built up a really good relationship with a lot of people in the city, in this area, prior to thinking about politics. And the big risk for me was with all of the support that I had over time, you go into politics, which is a tough, different kind of business that you're lucky if 51% of the people support you. So all the goodwill that I had achieved and built up over my years in Detroit was at risk. But I said, you know, it's worth taking this risk because the city is bigger than me. The need for the city and its residents are bigger than me. So I made the decision without any political background, without a lot of knowledge in terms of government. So I had to really learn quick. And a lot of it was on the job, which made it that much more difficult.
If you're just joining us, my guest is former Detroit mayor and NBA All-Star great Dave Bing. He has a new memoir called Attacking the Rim, My Journey from NBA Legend to Business Leader to Big City Mayor to Mentor. You write in the book about the many, many difficult moments that you had to face as mayor, culminating with the city's bankruptcy and the entree of Kevin Orr as the city's emergency manager. It was a very catalytic and hard time in Detroit. I wonder if the experiences that you got during that time, knowing what you now know about the city, and I guess how the state of Michigan works too, has this changed how you think about what it takes to move the needle on some of the really big issues? I'm thinking about stuff like the water shutoffs and foreclosure problems that Detroit has dealt with in recent years under Mayor Duggan, or maybe just about the city's chronic revenue problem, which has continued even after the bankruptcy.
A lot of the things that I had to deal with are still being confronted by Mayor Duggan and his administration. When you are in that much debt, and I think Kevin Orr and his team did a very credible job because we were $18 billion in debt and long-term liabilities. The pension and health care was killing the city. you know, we had 54 unions that you had to deal with. And all of them were trying to protect their people, their employees. And even though I think Kevin did an outstanding job by eliminating about $7 billion of debt off the balance sheet, you know, the city is still left with $11 billion of debt and long-term liability to go forward. And because the tax revenue in the city is so important to generate the money that you need to run this city, you still have a lot of people who are either unemployed or underemployed and don't add a lot to the tax base, but yet depend on all of those city services. So I think Mayor Duggan and his administration came in. They had a much better balance sheet than I had to deal with, but they still got some problems going forward because, you know, we're not a destination city where you got a lot of people who want to move into the city. I mean, you have a city that had 1.5 million people at one time, and now you're roughly around 700,000 people. So you've lost over half of your population. And most of those people that left were your middle class people where you were getting tax revenues from. So I think we still got some major problems that we've got to deal with. They just don't go away easy.
It's so crazy to me that you were such a success in the NBA, such a success in your business career. Bing Holdings did well. And yet, when you came to City Hall, you were the guy that people looked to after the Kilpatrick administration to bring back some order. What was it like being seen as that person who needed to play cleanup?
Well, it was a major challenge, no doubt in my mind about it. But, you know, the thing that was rewarding to me is before I went into City Hall, I, like so many other people, thought that a lot of city employees were only there for a paycheck. And when I came in and got to meet, especially city department directors, and then some people on down in the organization, it became very apparent that people were there because they loved the city and they wanted to see the city rebound. It made me feel emboldened that what I was doing was very dependent upon the people in the administration, the leadership. I was very fortunate that we didn't lose any of our top leaders, department heads. They stayed with me because they saw me as a guy who was trying to do the right thing, not trying to come in and make money. And a guy that would come to work every day and get down in the trenches with them and tell them the truth, let them know exactly where we were and the things that I thought we had to do. So there were no easy decisions. I mean, almost every major decision that I had to make was a negative impact on a lot of people here in the city. And so it was easy for people to turn against you. But we had to do what we had to do. I understood it. They understood it. And we stayed in the trenches and made it happen. And I think as we finished my term, I think we left the city in a much better position than we found it and made it much more possible for the Duggan administration to hit the ground running.
I got the sense reading the book that you really haven't had a lot of time to be able to enjoy Detroit. I mean, when you first came to town, it's true you were part of the Pistons and very much a known figure, but you know, you had a young family. You had a lot going on, obviously, during the years when you went into business. And when you were involved in politics, it was just nonstop. Have you been able to enjoy the city much in the past couple of years?
What I do enjoy about the city are its people. I've established an unbelievable amount of friendships that dates all the way back to when I first came into the city. And outside of family, those friendships mean a lot to me. So I had a lot of my friends that were worried about me and thought I was going nuts when I said, yeah, I'll run for mayor. But they stuck with me and they're with me today. And that's what I value. I've not had a lot of time to enjoy the city because you're always going from crisis to crisis. So there's a lot of work to be done. But when you step away from it for a moment and say, did I make a difference? Did we make a difference? The answer is absolutely yes, because I think if I had not made the decision to go into that position, we probably would have gone into bankruptcy quicker. A lot of people would have gotten hurt even worse than they did. And so I've never worried about trying to have a good time. The good time for me is to see people other than myself. I've been blessed. But to see other people lesser than me have a chance for a good life. And that's what I focus on, even today with the program that I started with young boys.
This mentoring program that you do write about in the book, what are you telling these young men about what they see around them right now? Massive, massive casualties due to COVID, a huge economic crisis, worse even than the one that you had to face down as mayor. What are you saying to them about this moment?
We are doing some things now with these young boys that I think will change their lives. So many people, because you're young, because you're Black, because you're poor, because you, in some cases, have an urban education, all of those things are deemed to be a negative for these boys. And so they never have somebody in their lives that are telling them, in spite of all of those negatives, you still can be a success. And the success comes from making sure there are role models, male role models in these boys' lives. So as I talk to them, I let them know what I went through personally. And, you know, they may not have the same opportunities that I have because of my athletic ability and then the good education that I got from public schools. But trying to really be a positive impact on the way they think and the way they see things is very, very important. You want them to understand that their dreams can come true and become a reality. But we tell them how to prepare for both the negatives and the positives and really focus on the positives, because there are just too many negatives that it's easy to say, I quit, I can't do this. And we want to make sure that we don't let them quit. When I look back at the boys who came in our program initially as ninth graders, now as seventh graders, we have a much longer tenure with them. And so our mentors have done a unbelievably significant job because they have stayed with these boys, in some cases from the ninth grade through graduation. And we have 100% graduation rate for all of our boys that have entered our program, which is kind of unbelievable.
Dave Bing's new book is Attacking the Rim, My Journey from NBA Legend to Business Leader to Big City Mayor to Mentor. Mayor, it's great to hear your voice. Stay safe, and thank you for talking to us.
Well, thank you so very much, and you all stay safe also.